All right. So good morning. My name is Tim Guile. I'm one of the guiding teachers here at Seattle Insight Meditation Society. And I'm very happy to welcome Oren for this day along. Oren J. Sofer. Yeah. So I know Oren, I've known, excuse me, mouth isn't quite working yet this morning. So I've known Oren since 2013. We're part of a four-year teacher training at IMS and Spirit Rock. And Oren is a teacher at Spirit Rock and also at IMS, part of the teacher council there. And he has a published with the art of say what you mean. Oren's going to be much more articulate than I will, I'm sure.
Maybe.
Yeah, so he's a dear friend, and I'm very happy to have him here. And just a few orientation comments for the center, for those who are new. Anyone new here? Hasn't it been in the center? So warm welcome to you. So the women's bathrooms are underneath that exit sign. Men's are at the base of the stairs. And we ask that you leave your shoes in the back wall, and also any drinks, including in the cups here, including containers. We want to just keep the floor clean. We have tea cups over there, and you can put your name on that cup so we can have less to wash at the end of the day. If you have trouble hearing the Oren's voice, we have some hearing-assisted devices in the back wall. And just take a moment to make sure your cell phone is turned off and to keep respect the noble silence, keep your attention on Oren and the exploration today. All right. Enjoy the day. Thank you.
Just one question, Tim. So do you guys, for non-binary, gender fluid, do you have a preference which bathroom is used? Is there one that's kind of designated?
Yeah, so we just have the two bathrooms. So anyone who identifies as a female is welcome to use the female one, and same thing with the male.
Okay, yeah, and so if you don't identify as either male or female, feel free to choose either bathroom is open. Well, thanks for getting out here on a Saturday morning. Wow. So first, I want to just let you know that I am not operating at full capacity. I woke up, for those of you who were here last night, you saw me kind of sniffling and sneezing. So the process continues. So my body is fighting some kind of cold or something. So I'm a little foggy, I think we're going to have a good day, and so if I zone out for a moment or two over the course of the day, that's why. And I ask for your patience and your forgiveness up front in just working with the body doing its thing. How many people were not here last night, just out of curiosity? Okay, great, no worries. So I want to thank you, Tim, and the Seattle Insight Board and guiding teachers for inviting me and having me. I want to thank Carb and Katie and some of the folks from Mindful Schools who have helped to make this event happen, just doing outreach. and I also want to begin by just respectfully acknowledging the First Nation people who lived on this land before white settlers came. Which is something that I take on as a practice when I teach and speak in different parts of the country, to just bring that to mind, because it's very easy today to forget the very painful history of our nation. And so just much gratitude and respect and acknowledgement to the peoples who stewarded this land in a much better way than we have for many generations. And so I know I don't need to tell you that we're facing really intense challenges today in our society, on the planet. And I think many of us see this in our personal lives. You know, just in relationships, the importance of communication and how much of a difference it can make when we're able to stay connected to our better intentions and our values, and what happens when we lose it, as we all do, and the cost and the damage that can be done. And so This is true in our personal life, in our relationships, and then it kind of ripples out from there, you know, socially, professionally, and then on the collective level. Our ability to communicate, to hear one another, even when we disagree, to work together in spite of different views and beliefs and histories, really holds the key to whether or not we're able to survive in a way that meets the basic needs of not just human life, but all life on the planet. So I take this work very seriously in that sense, that it's not the whole picture. There's a lot of other pieces that are needed. And I'm very grateful to those who are doing some of that work. But this one piece of relationship is key. And I say relationship because for me, it's not just about meditation and it's not just about communication, but that word relationship kind of encompasses both. Meditation is a relationship. It's a relationship with ourself. It's a relationship with our experience from moment to moment. And developing qualities like patience and non-reactivity, generosity, kindness, compassion in that relationship. And then we learn how to take those experiences of the inner relationship into our life's relationships with one another and with the world. So how many people are here today? So that was one of those moments, right? Just that long pause there. Like the mind was just like, okay, there was another thing I was going to say that like was like the right thing to say at this part of the day, and I just kind of waited. It came back. How many people are here today because you're looking for tools or skills for a particular relationship personally in your life? Friendship, intimate partnership, family. Raise your hand. You can raise your hand more than once. Okay. How many people are here looking for some tools or skills or you know, different understandings for something professionally in your work, your workplace? Mm-hmm. Okay. How many people are here looking for some of that learning for social activism or political change? Mm-hmm. How many people are here looking for some way to deepen your contemplative practice and learn how to have less of a gap between your mindfulness practice and the rest of your life? Yes. I love that. That's what it's about. Okay, so why don't we start with a short meditation together? And I'll offer just a few suggestions at the beginning, and then we'll move into some silence. And then at the end, I'll say a few words to invite a short reflection, just so you know what's happening, where we're going. So how we begin meditation is very important. And so just notice already if you're kind of like gearing up for some immense effort. Like, you know, like, okay, I'm going to meditate. And if that's the case, just slow down. Meditation is about slowing down. It's about arriving. And it's about becoming conscious of what's already here. So we don't have to work to make something happen or change our inner experience or get to some special state of calm or peace. One of the images that I like to use to represent the attitude that we try to cultivate with contemplative practice and meditation is to imagine that you are sitting on the porch with a good friend on a summer evening. The temperature's pleasant. Some sounds of birds or frogs or crickets. What's your intention? If you need to stretch your legs or stand up, shift your posture, please feel free to. We're not going to take a break, but feel free to, you know, take care of your body in terms of stretching and so forth. And that goes for the whole day, so we'll take a break halfway through the morning, like a good 15-minute bathroom break, and we'll do the same in the afternoon. But during the sessions, if you need to stretch your legs or you're feeling stifled sitting and you want to stand, or like this gentleman, do some stretching on the side, please feel free, you know. This is your day, so do what you need to feel comfortable and at ease here. So I'd love to hear a few of those words, those nuggets of what it is that's bringing you here today. And we'll go from there. So maybe just raise your hand and I'll call on folks. And I'll say back what you say since I have the mic so everyone can hear. Yeah, Roger. Okay, harmony and collaboration. And as we do this, I want you to pay attention to what happens inside as you hear these words, harmony, collaboration. What else? Crossing the gap. Compassion and acceptance. Understanding. Peace. Connection. And if something's been said already, maybe only things that haven't been said, yeah.
Integrity.
Kindness. Finding common ground. Patient responsiveness. Healing.
Pause.
Presence. Wholeness. Do these words have meaning for you? Do they? Yeah, we know these, right? If we didn't know them, it wouldn't register. What would it be like if you could stay aware, if you could stay connected to these deep intentions, these deep values, during the flow of your day, during a heated moment in a conversation, to stay connected to a desire, a value for peace, for bridging the gap, for wholeness. My belief, my view is that we have inside us this deep knowing of something very, very healing and nourishing and whole. Because it's fundamentally our nature. We wouldn't know what these words mean, wholeness, harmony, peace, patience, if we hadn't touched them already in our life. It wouldn't mean anything to us. But we've each had experiences, moments, that have awakened us to these possibilities. But they get covered over. We lose touch with them. We forget. We get swept up, right? So this is some of the work. First, to identify our deep value, and then to learn how to stay connected to them, how to live from that place. And so this is the question that I've been pursuing for most of my adult life. When I first started meditation practice, it was like, wow, so cool, this practice that teaches me how to, discover and be in touch with these beautiful aspects of being alive. But then there was the gap between what was happening on the cushion and what was happening in my life and my relationships. So I said, like, if this is going to be worth anything in my life, it's got to show up. It's got to show up in my relationships and my conversations. It's got to show up when I'm washing the dishes or doing the laundry or when I'm sick, So this is what I want to explore together today. The title of our day long is The Art of Mindful Communication, Living Your Values. How do we live these values? How do we stay connected to them? And I want to do a series of exercises and kind of trainings together that will give you some tools to experiment with in your life to see if they will help you to stay connected to these values. So I want to say one or two more things just to frame the day, and then we'll move into starting to explore some of the... So the first is that just two very, very simple yet kind of far-reaching points. Number one, we have the capacity to learn. This is not news to any of us. But it's very important. The mind and the brain are designed to learn. So the property of neuroplasticity, which is this capacity that the brain has to change its shape and its function through repeated experience. The more you do something, the better you get at it. And that can work in our favor or it can work against us, right? The more I spend my life feeling stressed out and frustrated and resentful and rushing around, well, guess what? I'm going to get really good at feeling stressed out and frustrated and resentful and rushing around, because that's what the brain's learning. The more time we spend recollecting patience or generosity or stability, groundedness, presence. Well, guess what? The mind is going to get really good at doing that. Okay? So this is the first point that's really essential. We can learn. The second point, communication is what I call a high-order skill. It's complicated. There's a lot going on when we communicate. We learn to communicate over time through observation, repetition, inquiry. Our brains are designed to learn language. We come into the world primed to learn language. But this process of speaking and listening or writing or signing is incredibly complex, what's happening. When we're dealing with a very complex activity like communication, between two very complex living organic systems, a human being is a whole ecosystem, physiologically, emotionally, mentally, psychologically, right? Each of us is carrying within us our history, our family, our ancestors, our experiences, all of this, not fully conscious, but it's present in some way. And it comes to the table when we have an interaction, right? We see through the lens of our life, So I have light-colored skin. I have a male body. That's how I, And so I have been trained by my family and our society to see the world in certain ways and to have certain expectations and assumptions of who I am and how others relate to me based on that identity that's defined by our society, right? And so based on your family and where you grew up and your religion and your ancestry and heritage, right? Each of us is kind of seeing through that. And all of that is present in communication. And to take some of this apart and learn to have more choice, awareness, flexibility in our conversations, learn to stay connected to these deep intentions that we just identified. When dealing with complex living systems, a small change will have far-reaching effects if it's sustained. We're not looking for catharsis. If that comes, great. What we're looking for is just a small shift that really sinks in so that you can stay with it. If you leave here today with one tool, one insight that really goes in, that you make a part of your life every day, every conversation, that will change the trajectory of your relationships. And it will lead to other insights and other changes. So because of this, the training method that I use is to break the communication down into discrete kind of parts and just look at like one aspect, one facet, and then do a very simple, artificial, structured exercise to explore that one facet of communication. Because there's so much going on, it's a lot to try to do it all at once. It's like one of the analogies I use is like let's say you play tennis, right? If you're trying to get better at tennis or any kind of sport, you're probably going to practice your stroke very diligently. You might slow it down and really feel like, okay, how are my legs planted? How do my hips move? How's my shoulder and my arm move, right? And you're really going to try to slow that whole process down to make sure that you've got the alignment right and the angles right and the momentum right. And then you're going to practice that swing over and over and over again in slow motion, and then until you speed it up until it becomes the new norm. Is this making sense? Right. Now, when you're playing the game, you're not moving at that slow pace, right? You just play. And you rely on your training. When you're training, you slow it down. Okay? So what we're doing here today, much of what we're doing here today are those training exercises, slowing it down. Why am I taking so much time to explain this? Because one of the very common mistakes that people make in communication practice is they take a training tool and they mistake it for the game. And you take this very structured, artificial practice and you think, I'm supposed to speak in this way. And then you go into your relationships in life and people kind of look at you funny and go like, would you just speak normally? What are you trying to say? Right? Have you had that experience ever? Someone comes from a communication training and they're speaking in very strange, convoluted, or rigid ways, and you're like, what's going on? Will you just tell me what you're, just be normal? So when we do these simple training exercises, the point is not to, okay, now I have to be this way all the time when I'm speaking. No. When you're in your life, just be in your life. But take time to slow things down and examine what's actually happening so that then you can integrate that. And this is the difference, I talk about this in my book, in the introduction. This is a key difference between what I call a tool or a practice, which is a discrete training exercise, and a principle.
So I'll give you an example. Principle. The more aware we are, the more choice we have. Makes sense, right? It's kind of obvious. So a principle is a kind of underlying understanding or ethos that makes sense to us. And that when we remember it, it starts to change how we're engaging in our life. Now, how do we actually put that into practice? We need some tools to remember to be aware. So we might do mindfulness of breathing. We might do mindful walking. Yeah? The point of mindful breathing is not to spend your whole day going in, out, following your breath, right? The point of mindful breathing is to learn how to be more aware in your life. So this is the difference between a practice and a principle. The practice is there to help us live the principle. But in our life, it doesn't mean that we need to hold on tightly to the tool or the practice and make sure that we're always doing it. Let it go and just try to be with the meaning behind it, okay? So if there are any questions that come up during the course of this day, feel free to just raise your hand. And I'll have specific periods for just kind of discussion in Q&A, but if something doesn't make sense or you want to follow up on something, just let me know. And if I'm kind of in the middle of a train of thought, you know, I'll just ask you to hold it for a minute. So how do we stay connected to these values? How do we start to transform our communication habits? So for those of you who were here last night, you heard me go through these three core foundations or trainings in communication that I teach. So I'll say them briefly, and then we'll start right in with the first one. So the three foundations for mindful communication are presence, which means being here in a balanced and embodied way. Presence. The second is intention, being aware of our intentions and choosing helpful intentions in a conversation or relationship. And the third is attention. What are we focusing on? How are we using our mind? Are we placing our attention on aspects of experience that are going to be helpful in building understanding, connection, in bridging the gap? Presence, intention, and attention. And for each of these, there's a certain step of training and instruction that I give to summarize the learning. So with presence, we learn how to lead with presence, how to start from a place of awareness in conversation, because that's the foundation. If we're not aware, good luck having a meaningful conversation, right? If we're not aware, we're just on automatic. With intention, the default intention I encourage people to cultivate is to come from curiosity and care. These are very powerful, transformative intentions for human beings, to get curious and to stay connected to the heart, to remember what we care about. And then for attention, to focus on what matters, to not get caught up in the small stuff, to not get caught up in our reactions, but to really stay focused on what matters here to me, to you, to the context. So lead with presence, come from curiosity and care, and focus on what matters. This is what we're going to be exploring today. So let's talk about presence. What are some of the benefits of being more aware and present in our relationships and conversations in life? Why do you think I might choose presence as the first foundation for having more skillful and meaningful conversations? What does it give us? What does presence do for you when you're able to be aware? It gives us more, right. Yeah. It gives us more choices we can choose instead of just being reactive. Huge, right? That's huge.
It gives us a sense of the reality of what we're actually in the middle
Right. It helps us to recognize some sense of like the big picture, like what's actually happening here. Thank you. Yeah, and what's not happening. Yeah. So so it gives us perspective. It gives us information, right? On many levels, it gives us information about what's happening, what's not happening. It gives us information about what's going on for us. That's how it gives us choice, right? The more information we have, we know that we're getting reactive. We can start to make a choice. It gives us information about the other person, right? When we're aware and present, we pick up on more. We notice more about what's going on for someone else. What else?
Maybe it's really about arriving in the moment.
Arriving in the moment. Mm-hmm. So arriving in the moment and not being as influenced or colored by the past or the future. And when I hear you say that, I'm wondering if the benefit of that, because you're describing a little bit the experience of presence, right? But I'm also hearing that that has some value for you. So it gives you a sense of openness and possibility to what's actually happening. Yeah, and this is really important, right? When we're focused on the past or the future, or we're kind of driven by it, by an agenda, we lose the sense of possibility and creativity of what could unfold. Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm. So it what I'm hearing, and tell me if I've got it right, is it helps us to become more aware of our biases, the filters that we're seeing through, and hopefully through that process to arrive at a more clear awareness and understanding of what's happening. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's going to help us to navigate a situation or a conversation. Yeah. Thank you. So Yeah, I'll repeat it. She said it it puts us in a position where we can actually hear someone. The way that I put that is presence lays the ground for connection and understanding, right? If we're not here, how are we going to understand anything? We can't really listen. We can't really hear someone else if we're not present to some degree. So many, many benefits, many reasons to learn how to be more present in conversation and in relationships. Now, the irony is that doing this doesn't necessarily help you to be more present when you're doing this. If you don't actually make an effort to bridge the gap. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to do a series of short practices with a partner that help us start to learn how to bring some of that sense of awareness and presence that we contact when we're doing silent inward contemplative practice into the space of being with another human being, so that we can actually begin to reap some of the benefits of presence in our relationships, right? If we want to be more present in our conversations, we need to practice it. We need to have some tools to learn how to be here more with another human being, rather than it just being random or haphazard. Sometimes I'm here, sometimes I'm not, and I don't really have much control over it. So each of us knows a lot about this already, just from being alive. Each of us knows for ourselves what helps us to be present and what takes us away from presence, right? Things like having a good night's sleep or feeling safe or, you know, being well-fed often help us to be more present. Or if we're feeling rushed or stressed, if we feel some sense of threat in the environment at all, sometimes that can make it harder to be present. In terms of training, there are a few tools that I've found that can be really helpful to bring presence into relationship. And so I want to take you through this series of exercises so that you can experiment a little bit and try to find one that works for you. Okay, so we'll do a few different things. The idea is not to do all of them in your life. The idea is to test them out and find one that you feel like works for you a little bit, and then take it on and practice with it, okay? How's everyone doing on like bathroom body stuff? This is going to be about a 45-minute cycle. So we could take a break now and then do the thing, or we could keep going and take our break afterwards. So raise your hand if you really feel like you need a break now. You have a strong need for a break now. So just two or three people. Is it like you really need to, or okay? So why don't, since there's only a few people, why don't those who need to go to the bathroom go ahead and just quiet. We won't take our full break. Maybe we will. why don't we take our break now, and we'll come back and we'll do the exercise. So I'll ring a bell to bring everyone back. So let's take about 15 minutes.